For those who have been coming to our services, we had a few weeks ago finished the series on the resurrection gospels that we read in the course of Matins. And we had I had preached on those just simply because they're so exceedingly rich, and it brings to us this theme of the resurrection every Sunday when we celebrate Matins. Just a reminder that in the Orthodox Church, we always celebrate the resurrection. That is the focus of our Sunday service. We never stray too far from that. And what's interesting is that here we have in the regular Sunday gospel reading one more glorious example of Jesus and the power that he has to raise the dead. Gee, this must be important. And it is important, perhaps maybe not as we sit here today. But a day will come, an hour will come, as it did for this widow, when the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ will be everything. For each one of us, when we come to the moment of our own death, it will only be the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that will save us. And how we will long for him to come to us at that hour and to raise us up, to give life to our dying bodies, and as much to bring hope where there is hopelessness. I think that it's interesting, whenever we experience some aspect of this dying process, what parallels it is this sense of hopelessness, this sense of loss, this sense of grief, the sense that somehow we're beginning to lose control. You know, it's one of the things that's kind of interesting to watch with children. And as young people mature, what do they learn? They learn how to control their lives. When it comes to basic bodily functions, the great victories that you have when you learn to control certain things. And as you grow up, you learn how to control your temper, hopefully, and other aspects, learning to control your mind and how you think and how you can apply yourselves, and learning to control your bodies and the use of things like tools or a keyboard to control, you know, what goes into the computer or whatever. This aspect of control is something that we learn. And yet what we see in the story of the gospel are things spinning out of control. And this, too, is very much a part of our human experience. When we no longer have the strength in our hands, the clarity in our minds, or even the love in our hearts to focus on much outside of just simply keeping going. And what accompanies that is hopelessness. It's anger, it's sorrow, it's a whole host of emotions, and a lot of times those emotions are what really begin to take control of our lives. And so this is the world into which our Lord Jesus Christ immerses himself. By his incarnation, first of all, but how much more so when he comes to this widow and restores life to her son, but also restores her. In fact, much of the emphasis in the Gospel of St. Luke in this story in particular is addressed to her. Not only just the resurrection of the boy, but what he does for her. The restoration of her soul. The restoration of her hope. The orientation in her life. The possibility for peace. And a glimpse of the future which is no longer bleak, dark, and filled with loss. And so this is what she bestows, this is what he bestows upon her. We see how the grip of this downward spiral of life can be very powerful. And I know there are those among us who have seen and experienced this, some to a lesser degree, some to more degree, in their own lives and even recently. And so what do we do? For us, in the reading of this gospel, in the proclamation of this gospel, come the words that we need to hear. So that even while seemingly this power of death and of sorrow and of the world seems to be engulfing us, and helplessness and hopelessness along with it. We have a hope. We have a helper, an advocate. We have the power not residing within us, but the power nonetheless, the power of divine love, the power that reaches out to us, the power that embraces us, that exhorts us, do not weep. Keep it together. Draw strength from me. I am with you. That brings clarity to our minds, even when seemingly, you know, all is lost. And when we face our own hour of death, or the next worst thing to it, which is the death of or the suffering of a loved one, as was the case for this woman. Now it's interesting that the Lord says, do not weep. That's what happens at funerals. People weep. In fact, there were hired mourners oftentimes in certain cultures because it was appropriate that somehow that there be weeping. But this is the first word, the first sign to say that, yes, we should be weeping. We should be wailing and lamenting. This is a miserable life and it's going down the tubes. Yes, wail. Unless you have a hope from beyond this life. And that's what the resurrection of Jesus gives to us. The only reason not to weep with that sorrow that leads to death itself is because we believe in the resurrection of Jesus. That we have been embraced by his divine light. That we know his love. We know the power that he bestows upon those and delivers the dead into eternal life. And this is what gives us hope. An hour is coming when he will wipe away, as the book of Revelation says, every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. For the old order, that which we know that spirals down into its abyss, that old order is passing away for us. And for all who will believe, all who will cross the bridge of faith, all who will receive the touch of the risen Lord, the God of all power, he is the one who can stop this spiral, this death cycle, and reverse it, and overcome it, and recreate it, and give us hope in the midst of it. Does this mean, brothers and sisters, that we don't experience these things in this life? Of course not. The Lord visits us when and as he wishes. He gives us his spirit of consolation. But we must learn how to be open to receive that. How important it is now for us to learn to pray. To learn to reach out to the Lord. To learn how to lift up our sorrows. Even the small ones, the little ones, the ones that aren't going to kill us. Okay, didn't do very well on that test. We have to learn how to lift that up to God. To make us well. To make us strong again. And when we fail, even with our moral failures, that we can turn back to God. And that our failure and the failures of life will not overcome us. This is what Christ offers, is this life. This is his touch. This is the touch that restores the dead to life. And I mean not only the dead who are dead in the body, but the dead who are dead in spirit, or those who are on life support, who need God's visitation. He comes, he desires to visit us, and sometimes he visits us only when we are finally disposed to open our hearts and our minds to him. In this story, the young man, the Lord says, he says to him, arise. And it says that the young man sits up. He comes from his reclined state and sits up and is raised up. And with him and with that symbol is the picture of the elevation or the raising up of every single person who experienced that moment. And the apostles themselves who passed this story on to us, they experienced in that moment the resurrection. And they passed that good news on to us. And that's what we proclaim to you today. That's what the Lord Jesus, through his gospel, has shown us today. His power over death itself and over all sorrow, all loss of orientation. If our orientation is focused toward him, now is the time to turn to him so that he can give us life and bring order to our souls, so that he can give us true control, so that when seemingly the things of life are drifting away from us, that in our souls we remain firmly in his embrace, and in his, and having surrendered to him, he indeed will raise us up in all ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.